Blog Talk Radio.
Well, on this night, December 14th in 2011, I was blown up and set on fire, fully engulfed in flame from the meth lab I was operating. But before we begin, let me give you a little background. You see, I had been a meth addict for about 35 years. 15 of those years, I had been cooking meth to keep from having to buy it. And during this time, I had heard over and over the horror stories of how meth labs had blown up and either killed those involved or left them permanently injured. But I'd always said, yeah, right, okay, that's never going to happen to me because I'm always too careful. And I was. I was extremely careful. Well, the days before the 14th, I had flown back to Florida to be with my family and then went back to Iowa on the 14th. Once I got there, the first thing I did was decided to make some more meth for the days to come. Never mind the fact that I already had a stash that would hold me over. But this is how the mind of a meth addict works. Anyhow, it had been snowing while I had been gone, so the temperature had changed somewhat. Now, I had a routine that I would follow when I would go about the process of making my dope, so that nothing was left out or could be found, and would always take the trash from my waste and throw it in a 5-gallon bucket that I kept in my basement, and then I'd burn it in a grill in order to get rid of it. But anyway, I'm upstairs now, and I'm in the process of making my dope, and I'm on the phone talking to a very good friend of mine back home in Florida that was having a hard time, and I had planned on bringing them up to Iowa so that they could get away from all the craziness that they were having to be around. As I hung up the phone, and I finish up the process of making the dope, and I gather up all my trash to take downstairs to the basement in order to throw it away and burn it off, I cut the top off the bottom bottle and dump the bottle as the 2 cups of camp fuel and other trash is coming out of the bottle. I noticed the moisture that has built up on the inside of the bucket. And even before it hits, what I had always said would never happen to me was about to happen.
Ah! Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, please! Please stop! Oh, God! Please let it stop! Please! Oh!
I get up. I look down at my arms. And as I look down at my arms, I watch this. Oh. I watch as the skin rolls off down onto the floor. At this time, there is no longer any pain. I'm in total shock. I can't believe what I've just done to myself. I was just completely fully engulfed in fire. I should be dead. Why ain't I dead? Why am I not dead? I look around. There's old newspapers, rags, all types of flammable things, but yet I'm the only thing that's caught fire. And yet, within 7 seconds, even 2 cups of camp fuel burning on me, it went out. How can this be? This just isn't possible. Okay, I've got to get some help. That's all I know. I go back upstairs to the second floor and call my son, who lives about 20 miles away, and I tell him I've screwed up and I need help now. I'm dying. That's all I tell him. And I go back to the basement, still in shock. Why am I alive? I was completely on fire. No one lives through this. My son arrives. I make him help me get rid of everything upstairs. I have all the dope and materials. I tell him to get rid of every of it. Little do I know, he has called the ambulance, and they arrive along with the sheriff's department and load me up. Once I'm gone, I was later informed that my son has put the garbage behind the barn and it reignited, and the sheriffs find it, and that's how they got the evidence against me. Several days later, I wake up in the Iowa burn unit and was told what had happened and told that I would be requiring multiple skin graft surgeries. As I laid there, I knew that only God could have saved me from the fire in the way that it went out and without burning anything else. And that what he had done was, and he had gave me a small glimpse of what I faced, if I didn't turn my life around, this would be my eternity, a life in hell. At that moment, I gave up and surrendered all to him. No longer did my life belong to me, or now belong to him. After several weeks, I was released from the hospital, and my family, my mom and aunt, had came up there to be with me. They flew me back to Florida, where I was immediately admitted into the Tampa Burn Center for several more surgeries and skin grafts. 2 weeks later, the cops walked into the room at the hospital. And I was told I was a fugitive from manufacturing meth. And I was extradited back to Iowa, where I was sentenced to 10 years in the Iowa State Prison. Now, remember, first I began this tale, I said that I was a meth addict. Once in prison, I became a recovering meth addict and immersed myself in the Word of God. I stayed obedient to his call, and within 1 year, I was granted parole, which is very rare for Iowa to do, and even more rare to get sent back to Florida. Now, once I got home, I got plugged into recovery programs at my local church and began to allow my relationship with God to grow. I soon began doing speaking engagements anywhere that I was allowed. And I finally got my book about the night of the lab explosion published, and things were looking good. I would always open up at my speeches with, "Hi, my name is Dale, and I'm a grateful recovering meth addict." Then one day the Lord spoke to me and said, "Why do you continue to say that you're a recovering meth addict? Do you not realize that when you came to me with your burdens and left them at the cross, that you no longer were in bondage to them? That you have now overcome them by my blood, which was shed for you." So from that day forward, I no longer considered myself a grateful recovering addict, but now I was an overcomer by the blood of my Father. As time progressed, the Lord has been very good to me and has opened many doors for me. I would never in my wildest dreams believe that I would ever write a book, be running multiple recovery groups, have 4 different recovery sites, and have my own recovery radio program. And all of this is all because of my being obedient to his call and always, always giving him the glory for everything. For if not for him, I wouldn't even be here. He allows me to help others to get into treatment when otherwise they can't because they can't afford it. He makes a way. Now, since I have begun this new recovery program, I can no longer call myself an overcomer. For now the fight is on, my friends, and I will not stop until it's finished. And I call on each and every one of you to join me. For now I am a warrior in God's army, and he wants you as well to be in this army of warriors.